All right, good evening. We would like to welcome you to May the 4th, Burke County Board of Commissioners meeting. At this time, we will have roll call. Madam Clerk.
Chair Corey Ballen. Vice Chair Louis Hoggard. Commissioner Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Vivian Saunders.
Present.
Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay. I have an invocation and pledge of allegiance by Commissioner Ronald Robertson.
At this time, Mr. Chair, I'll give the Bishop David Ray to do the prayer, and I'll do the invocation. I'll do the pledge.
Yep. The 17 thousand residents of Burton County. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for those that are online listening, present. And Lord, we thank you for the five commissioners, those that set before us. Lord, may everything be done in unity, goal of moving forward for Burke County. We thank you, Lord, for all your grace and mercy on this county that we love our hearts. Forgive us of all our sins in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bishop, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, to the Republic, and
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you so much, Pastor Ray, and to Commissioner Robson. At this time, we will move right along. We'll move to our public comments. We ask that you govern yourselves to 3 minutes per speaker.
Mr. Ronald Wilson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I know you have a very busy agenda, so I will be quick. As many of you know, after leaving the Board of Commissioners, I was appointed by Governor Stein to the Rural Infrastructure Authority Board under the Department of Commerce in August of last year. The IRA is one of the primary sources of state business development and infrastructure funding for the Tier 1 and Tier 2 counties here in North Carolina. Some of the programs that you're familiar with are business grants, building reuse, demolition grants, funding for rural engagement and investment projects, the Rural Planning Center, and the Main Street Program, and the Industrial Development Fund, over $800 million awarded. In late February of this year, with support from the Mideast Commission and their chairman, Gloria O'Brien, who's the mayor of Ed, I was successful in sponsoring a funders forum in Washington, North Carolina, in partnership with Golden Leaf. Your business director, Business Development Director Allison Browning, along with consultant Robert Kennedy, attended along with most of the other business development staff in the region. Areas of focus were acquiring critical development funding, advancing program infrastructure, building local capacity. But I am before you this evening simply as a citizen and resident of Burke County, and I would like to draw your attention to a couple of investment development areas that I think could be significant to Burton County. Two potential development programs. First one is Interstate 87. You know, this has been approved, but no, North Carolina has not approved budget for this fiscal year. I know you understand the importance of the project. As you know, Burton County is halfway between the ports of Virginia, but we're also halfway between Rawlins and the Outer Banks. This positioning is very important. This county. The other project is Highway 11, typically referring to the portion in Burke County. Orlando is on the rail line and is a designated priority zone here in the state, which means specific and special funding for anything there. Our rail line has to the CSX rail line serving New Core and the U.S. Forging Rings project, and therefore into Southern Virginia. It's important into this board is that you give strong consideration the development, funding, and building of industrial parks in conjunction with both of these major state and federal projects. I saw firsthand the work behind the U.S. Forest Range project development in Hertford County that is going to generate about $875 million and also another $51 million in port expansion, which came through rural infrastructure development. Also, the industrial park expansion project of Beaufort County, $1,000, that was also funded 2 months ago through the Rural Infrastructure Authority, where I sit. While it would be a clear conflict of interest to be involved in either of these projects directly, I would certainly be willing to provide this board with more detail of programs within RIA that would support these potential an interrelated date of your choosing, if you are so inclined to look and move forward with these projects. Thank you, Duration. If there are any questions.
The only question I have is, former commissioner, is that have you made contact with Ms. Economic Development person?
Yes. After for her first week on the job, I sat down with her through all of the programs within rural infrastructure. Examples of how to submit grants on all of it to the forum Monday forum. She did attend. Yeah, she is familiar. But I got to tell you that 14 years, only three grants have ever been submitted to the rural infrastructure from Berkshire County.
Okay.
You know, still there, still on.
Mr. Spake, I'm Reginald.
He's the assistant director
of that program. Right. Yes. Because I know a couple months back.
Yeah, that's and, correct.
Yeah.
And you know, the reason I think that they added me and one other person from is if you look back at the history of the board, this part of the country, of the state, has really not taken advantage of this issue. Half of the counties are tier one, tier two, and yet they're still. No, these portions
is
not getting very much of this.
So when we set up, you're going to have to also set up, I guess, infrastructure in the parks as well? Or how does that work?
First of all, you have to acquire the land.
Right.
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 Probably at this time, and the kind of things that might be available to us, especially in transportation.
Right.
Would be probably a neighborhood of about 40 acres, but all the infrastructure work, the works can be provided through Golden Lake without a match.
Cool.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Madam Clerk.
Miles Davis.
The phone has been more appropriate last month's meeting out of town. I feel like because I'm a candidate, I need to have make a comment. You know, I first want to anybody that's in a volunteer fire department, volunteer fireman, volunteer firewoman in Berkey County, they're very appreciated. So my father was a firefighter in Washington, D.C., got injured in a fire, trying to rescue people, and became disabled. Back home, where he's from in Berkey County, and his name is on Midway Maryhill Fire Department wall as an honorary member. I think their voices and concerns need to be heard, but I also want everybody to know that I know a majority of y'all up here, and I know you had a lot of values, you go to a lot of same meetings, and what I like to call Berkey County values. You're up here serving because you feel like you want this county, so the people that's underfed. But you also, I know, support law enforcement, support EMS, support this medical system here, and you support the firefighters, the firemen and women. And it probably would be a good idea to me, maybe to watch all that's going behind the scenes, but to have a meeting between both sides and come out with an agreement and a timeline and have a response. Press release that both sides agree on and to see what's going on in the future. It's very important for the citizens to knowledgeable of what's going on. Now, sometimes I don't think they get all the right impressions. Also, just hoping that the firemen be here, because I wanted to say to them that I think it's important for them to have education in our community to try to get kids more involved in the department and understand what volunteer firemen and women do. I go to the high school and talk to those students, even get those people interested. Church is toward balance, urban balance, and you got young people there that might not know what to do about being a volunteer fireman. Ms. Wood, because that would be the part with that represents you, and get a lot more new people involved, and I think that would be good. You know, if anybody don't know, says let's work together for a better Berkeley County. And that's not just for this situation, that's for every situation. And I'm also going to say, because everybody said, how can I get in touch with you? My email address is miles.bertkey@gmail.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miles. I would like to interject just before we go a little to make it known that I am a open book, open channel. Anybody need, they can contact me by email, by phone, or by text. And I see you had a concern, Mr. Foley. Positive, you can write instead of something. Anybody need to reach me, you can reach me. Yeah. It's not your time, sir. I just need to, you know, because that we are a county that's supposed to all work together for a better cause, you know, not to find negative, to degrade one another. That we can't succeed, can't achieve things like that. I think we need a fireman, law enforcement, EMS, county administrators, everybody. We need to rally. We're citizens of one county. You know, united we stand. Divided we fall. That's the road that some people want. Madam Clerk?
That's all the public comments, sir.
Okay, thank you so much. Now, we will have full of the agenda. I'm sorry, I had it wrong. Convene as the Board of Equalization and Review. Time we will go ahead and reconvene as the
Board of Equalization. I'll make that motion that we reconvene as Board of Equalization.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor by Vice Chairman Hoggett, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
So we have officially reconvened. County Manager.
Yes, Commissioners, I'm not sure if our tax Ray is on the line due to unforeseen circumstances. He was out of the office. That there are no appeals for you all to consider at this time.
Okay. With that, I need a motion that we dismiss. We have a motion on the floor by Vice Chairman Hoggett, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Move to the introduction of Beyond Your Ordinary by Ms. Deja Jenkins.
Good evening.
In the services we provide to support the health and well-being of our community. Beyond the Ordinary is located in Greensboro, North Carolina, and throughout the world. Beyond the Ordinary is a nonprofit working to improve the lives of individuals and families across North Carolina. Our facilities accept Medicaid and Medicaid. From schools, healthcare workers, DSS, court services, hospitals, community agencies, and other organizations. We believe each person has care, respect, and the opportunity to heal, grow, and live beyond order. We are proud to serve multiple counties throughout Bertie, Herbert, Camden, Pitt, Martin, Perquimus, Pastor Pike, just to name a few. Mental health is just as important as physical health. And we are committed to creating a supportive and welcoming environment for everyone that walks through our doors. We strive to substance abuse recovery, supportive employment, and long-term independence, healing, and resilience. We combine evidence-based clinical practices with a personalized, person-centered approach to help each individual reach their highest potential, meeting people where they are. So we currently offer a variety of services designated for all agents in person or via telehealth services. Individuals to receive care from the comfort of their home. Our services include care support, specialist, individual therapy, group therapy, and professional counseling. For you, we provide two substance abuse programs, including substance abuse intensive outpatient, also known as SAOP, and substance abuse comprehensive outpatient treatment, known as SAPI. In addition, we offer psychotherapy, known as PSR group, which helps individuals develop life skills and improve daily functioning. We also operate a day treatment program to provide structured therapeutic support for individuals who benefit from more extensive daily care. We welcome referrals, partnership opportunities, collaboration, and an inquiry of potential vendors or community events. Coming soon, we will be expanding our services to include medication management, assistance, and other services to allow us to offer more accessible care to the community we serve. Thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to share our information about Beyond Your Ordinary today and the services we provide, serve this community, and look forward to continuing to make a positive impact on the lives we serve. I also have brochures and business cards if anyone would like any after me. Thank you.
Ms. Jenkins. At this time, we have introduction of Eustace Incorporated by Mr. Rashwan.
Got close.
How you doing?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Pleasure to be here. Wanted to introduce Eustace Inc. To you all. Really, as someone that had mental health challenge for over 20 years now, I think this is very important for us to be able to address. Also, May is mental health work. How befitting for us to be here, especially the individual that spoke before me. I would say when mental health challenges, I was a disorder back in 2006. And for me, I was at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, and during that time frame, but I didn't want to come back here. Because for one, we didn't have enough resources, but then also, if I would have came back here, so I didn't come back here. Ended up and got the help that I needed, but decided I wanted to become a therapist. And in addition to that, started a youth list to raise mental health resources for individuals to get the help that they actually need. So, most recently moved back home and have my office and being able to provide these services here. And then also with that, we've been hosting a mental health awareness walk here for 10 years. And also last year we did the first gala as well to be able to highlight individuals in the community that are doing the work that may not be intentional as what we'll see as somebody going to sit on the couch, but being able to address the community within it. Also, I served as the mental health coach for the athletic program at Bertie High School. And so being able to reach the kids and then being able to, not only just the kids, so I think that's one of the misconceptions too. We all focus on the kids, but they need to be focused on it. But we got to focus on the environment they're coming from as well. So that means also their parents. So if their parents are the healthiest as possible, either them when they come to me for an hour during the week and then going back home and dealing with some of the same thing, whether that's substance abuse issues, whether that's depression, anxiety, and all of those particular things. So being able to also teach the parents those things, because I mean, we deal with a lot of just, especially here in this rural area of North Carolina. excited to keep some things. I like to say doing it my way, because a lot of the stuff that I'm doing, I didn't learn in school. So I just add my own work. And it was a touch to be that.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thanks so much, Mr. Miller.
Mr. Miller, for all your volunteers in Bertie County, and being a native and raised in Bertie County, and coming back here, it means so much to the people in the citizens of Bertie County. Thank you, man.
All right. At this time, we will call on Trillium Health Resource Report by Ms. Bonnie Lowe.
Right along with the same topic.
I knew you were going to enjoy that. I knew you enjoyed that. Yeah.
Blue Jay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jay. Yes, we got stuff like that. I will not take up too much time. They said anything already, but just to give you some specifics and data and some updates. So Trillium is a local. Our role has changed drastically over the past 20 some odd years. Since July of 2024, we've been operating as a Taylor plan. Means we are a health plan, we help manage Medicaid, but we look for a very specific population. And we're one of the four public health plans that we are still local public agents. These nonprofit company, we are still a public agency that serves our 46 families. We help connected services and providers. Just heard from two of them. There's a lot more out here in this community. So we help people access care through those networks and services. All right, so y'all seen this map and you've seen it change and shift a lot over the past. When I started this field in 2000, there were 41 area programs that actually did direct services in the community, 41 different agencies. Right now the state has this down to. So Trillium is the largest of the four. But it is a, you know, that all four of us remaining as Taylor plans, we all continue to be public agencies. We have a population of 1 million. Out of those 3 million, there are about 92,000 individuals who fall on the Taylor plan for Medicaid, and about 216,000. And we serve about 17,000 individuals who had no health insurance. So as we have has been really important is to stay local and stay connected to our communities. When you hear a number of 46 counties, it's like, how can we still be heard? So we worked really hard. We've implemented our regional structure since 2015. Each of our regions has our regional advisory board, the advisory council, we have health disparity council, and our governing board is made up of individuals from those regional boards. So the people that you guys point the board, those are the individuals. Well, they are waking that person up straight from our regions and from our consumer and family advisory panels. Every region has a regional vice president. We have community engagement and empowerment and liaisons who work out there in the community, who do different things in communities with. We work really hard to be involved with stakeholder engagement activities. There was the event here where our trainers offered a free question, persuade, refer training. Then we had a panel, then we had vendors and all kinds of stuff going on here in Bertie County. We try just to be involved in all the things going on to help make sure that we're connected and also that individuals hear about mental health, hear about substance. Conversations are really important because I believe wholeheartedly one of the biggest barriers to accessing care is stigma. I mean, I think we kind of called that out. So the more we can be out, so we work really hard to be involved in these communities. For Bertie County, for our regional advisory board, we have the Patricia Wright Weston, who serves on our board. We also have our non-commissioner seat is Emmy Taylor. She's a therapist here in Bertie County, and she has worked in this public system probably 30-some years. And they just bring really great outlook to our board. Both of them have really great experiences, so they're valuable members. We actually also have a person from Bertie who's on our Consumer and Family Advisory Council. For your representation from Trillium, I'm your regional vice and Shanita Ball, liaison, and she has been working in Bertie County for a very long time, so she is connected to lots of things. So just a little update. Y'all heard this a whole lot, but this is really important, and this was the biggest transition in Medicaid in decades. So in 2021, managed by standard plans for most people with Medicaid. What that means is you have Blue Cross, United, AmeriHealth, and WellCare. They're managing all of someone's health care if they have, if they're on one. It ends up being about 70% plus of people with Medicaid. In 2004 is when we started managing Medicaid for people who fall on the Taylor plan. And so those mental health challenges, such as disorder, traumatic brain injury, developmental disability. That tends to be somewhere between 8 and 10% of your Medicaid population. The last big shift happened in just, so for years, if a child went into custody with DSS, they would reach out to us for assistance if that child needed like a residential treatment. In December, that moved under Blue Cross with a program called Healthy Care Together. Blue Cross now manages Medicaid services for children who are in foster care and so their family members as well. So that was the last big shift with this whole long process for Medicaid treatment. Those plans are with and the Taylor plan, that's the whole health, that's where we manage behavioral health care as well as fiscal health care. Medicaid Direct is for individuals who are carved out of managed care. A lot of those folks have like Medicaid and Medicare combined, and so they can still access behavioral health care through us. Our state funded plan, you get a little teeny bit of money from the state for people who are uninsured to make sure they have access to some needed care. Local, that's really what we do, our local thing in the community. There's really classes we teach in the community, often crisis intervention training, mental health first aid, all those things you do in the community that don't fall under kind of a typical service array. All right, this is 40. Let me get straight to Bertie. Yeah. All right, so these are the numbers for Bertie County. Bertie's got about 7,200 people with Medicaid. Out of those 7,200 people, 569 following the Taylor plan. Being about 8% of the Medicaid population. Everyone else is either managed by one of the private insurance companies or they're following Medicaid Direct. So what that means in a nutshell is there's 569 individuals. Those are individuals who really whether that be behavioral health services or physical health. Those are what we call a tailored plan. Then for people served over all 46 counties, it was just under about $1.7 million. That's a lot of health care. That's for 46 counties. For Bertie specifically, for 592 unique unduplicated individuals. We see mental health ID and substance use. Those can definitely be replicated. People often receive services in more than one category, but the 592, that is an unduplicated number. Just a couple updates. I'll just bring up again the mobile unit that serves Bertie County. We've got done a lot of work with like the Public Defender's Office, so there we go. Except the PSS, people can access care there, as well as any of the numbers. We've also done a lot of work around some using technology. So there's an app called Chest Health that has a companion and a connection app. And that helps people who are in substance use recovery connect with other people as well as direct. There's also a program starting now called Attend Behavioral, and that really targets kids who have autism and helps their family to behavior modification in the home. It's great to do things in the community. You also want to make sure things are being influenced in the home. So there's just a couple projects going on. The TOLA is also a neat program. That program is actually really going kind of statewide now. The developmental disabilities with any technology. That can range from medication reminders. It could be someone to do like virtual monitoring to check in, all kinds of different options, but it has really helped people reduce staff and be more independent using some pretty simple technology. All right, so some substance use prevention projects. We've had really great county schools. Whenever I call Montez and say, hey, do you want this? He says, yes. If it's going to help our students, yes, we do want this. So in Bertie County, a program called Post Center, they come in and do community education. They've had a number of courses on substance use prevention geared for students in the classroom as well as their parents. He's also worked with Sold Out Youth, which is a program to help educate youth on fentanyl and the dangers of fentanyl. APEC and have a free training program for school resource offices, school nurses, social workers, school admin to help them recognize the signs of substance use. We get a credit from that through APEC at no charge. I think they have the Mabel STEM Lab making the Bertie, where high school kids get to actually see being due to yourselves. So it's not just another adult saying, don't vape. They actually can see the science behind this is what happens when we vape. But Bertie schools have been amazing. If I call and say, do you want this? The answer is yes. That has been very refreshing and a great experience. We also distribute Narcan each year to your county to make sure, really, just to make sure people can stay alive who are struggling with opioid use disorder. So for people who need to access services, they get any plus at all. No wrong door completely, but they can. So we have our member recipient service line that runs Monday through Saturday. And we have the behavioral health crisis line 4 hours a day. And they do get connected to a clinician, not just the machine. As I've answered the phone before, so schedule the clinicians who are on call for that. And that's all I've got. Any questions for me?
Very informative.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
We did a reintroduction here in Mercy County. It was a great experience. Some people ended up going back to jail when they weren't able to get everything done. It doesn't see how hard society after incarceration. And one of my favorite things was they sent a lot of the kids from Team 4. So a lot of the youth who were doing Team 4, they're like, this is really hard. And that was a really neat high school kids there. So
that's awesome.
It was a good event. If we do it again, you should come and see if you can get through and not go to jail. It's tough though.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ms. Bobby. All right. Now we have Veteran Services update by Ms. Denise Clark.
How you doing, Ms. Clark?
Hey, Ms. Denise.
According to the veteran affair, Bertie County is a home for approximately 1,889 veterans. Our office continues to provide transportation service to the veterans who rely on his support through appointments and essential care. This program has been possible through the ECU Bertie Health Hospital, which has provided funding over the past several years, and I believe since 2019. Last year, we received our first grant from the North Carolina Department of Veteran Affairs. With that funding, we were able to expand the transportation and launch a health and wellness research fair, resource fair for veterans, spouses, caregivers, and survivors. I'm pleased to share this year, we received a second NCDA grant These files would help host common veteran PTSD, PTSD awareness resource fair in June. As many of you know, June is National PTSD Month, and June the 27th is National PTSD Awareness Day. However, I respectfully request that the Board of Commissioners adopt a proclamation recognizing June as PTSD Awareness Day. Be aware of it, show support by our veterans and their families.
Did you, Ms. Smallwood, get a chance to put down the resolutions? Okay. All
right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Clark.
Thank you.
All right. Financial summary and budget amendment by Mr. Willie Carroll.
TSD.
How you doing, sir? Good.
You have two documents before you this evening. Your first is your financial summary report for the month of April. Based on the revenue of April 3rd, 2026, was $16,609,908. Approximately $473,086 to the
page. Right.
Those numbers for April 30th, 2025 was $17,053.
Right.
If you'll move over to your breakdown. Social Service and Water Fund expenditures and revenues. At the end of April, our revenues were exceeding our expenditures in the general fund by 2.8 million. You'll notice that there is one line that's a little bit high in revenues. That's for from interest earned. You'll recall we were behind the bank keeping those current, those three figures.
Thank you.
The Department of Social Services funds over to cover their shortfall for the month of March. They received a reimbursement for March. So right now, we've transferred about $32,000 more than each. But at the time, that
back. Right, I understand.
And then within the water fund, now the revenues are exceeding expenditures by $483,072. And these were and report on May 1st. Any questions that can put a bet those
money. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Wood?
Thank you.
Any questions on this one? All right. Thank you, Mr. Wood.
The other item that you have before you is a budget amendment. The first one is one that went to the county. They installed some grants for seniors here in the county, and they were able to receive a grant from the Mideast Commission to help offset those costs. And that grant was for $10,000. The other entry that we have is for it's twofold. It is for the law enforcement vehicles, the sheriff's department. We had two insurance claims. These were the funds that we received from the insurance company. The vehicles from the sheriff's department, the insurance payment was $7,812, $808.12. And the building damages were hot water heating, water heating. $5,321 to that budget amendment for $33,129.
The whole building came down in.
Hey, lad.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Matt?
No.
Yes, we need to get a motion on that.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor to accept the amendment. Mr. Willie Carwin. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Saunders. Is there Vice Chairman Hoggart? All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Thank you, sir. Presentation of the 2026-2027 recommend County Manager Vaughn.
Bertie County Board of Commissioners, Bertie County staff, to our community of Bertie County, I stand before you once again, first to say good evening, and I'm honored to present the proposed budget for year 26-27. Have a handout.
I got you. Thank you. Thank you.
So I have some good news tonight, and I have some bad news tonight. And so we're going to get into it a little bit today, but of course, work sessions, we can delve deep into it because you all have some big decisions to make. Notice how I said you all. The composition of the county's budget includes all of the funds listed here, and this is just some of the main ones. And tonight, I'll give you highlights on general fund, talk a little bit about the fire service district, but fund and also the water district fund. Those are the main two funds that the LGC are concerned with, and that those two funds have contributed to us being on the list. So I'd like to start here to talk about some growth that we've had over the years. So going back up fiscal year 2017, if you'll notice, the columns under 2017 through 2020, there was an original fund, right? And so if you look, so at the beginning of the year, there was an original appropriation. By the end of the year, that appropriation increased, which is represented by, okay? So since I've been here, we have not appropriated fund balance, which has greatly contributed to our increase in fund balance. Our auditor was just here recently, explained that our fund balance has grown. Back in 2020, we had a fund balance of 1%. At the end of fiscal year 23, it was 8%. And end of fiscal year 2024, available fund balance has grown to over 24%. So, like to... IT, can you assist me with putting, I think I'm doing it. I'm going to put that at the bottom so you can see. Okay. So basically, this slide right here shows the fluctuations in the general fund, the amount of the overall budget. Okay. So starting out in 2018, $23 million up to 2020, peaked at $25 million, came back down. And so in 2025, $26 million. For the current year, 2026, we're at $24.9 million, and the proposed budget is about $500,000 less than the current year's budget. Repeat that again. The proposed budget for 2027 is about $500,000 less than the current budget. And we're going to get into why that is in just a minute. So let's take a look at the ad valorem tax rate. Right now, 2026, you'll see we're at 93 cents. Just taking a look at it from the beginning, in 2017, we were at 80, took a years, it was decreased by a penny. In 2018, remained there to 2019, went up to 86 and a half cents in 2020, stayed consistent until 2025. In 2025, it was increased to 93, at 93 cents now. Unfortunately, I'm not proposing a tax increase at this time. However, based on all of the requests from department heads, from some of our community partners and nonprofits, those requests came in to over $1 million. So if all of those requests would have been funded, our tax rate would be a whopping $1.34. But of course, that is not what the tax rate is. It is 93 cents. So that is if all of those requests were fulfilled, that is a tax rate that it would require. And just to tell you, usually we see the requests are usually, we'll say, anywhere from 10 more, but it had a big increase this time because of the public school system requested $3 million in capital outlay funds. Historically provided 375 in capital outlay dollars. This year, there's a request of over 3 million just for capital outlay. Okay? So, west up so much this year. So let's talk about why our budget is $500,000 less this upcoming year. That is because due to a decrease in revenue projections. So our revenue projections are a little bit lower for and for the current year 20. And the value of a penny is about approximately $150,000, basically $151,000. So let's take a look at some expenditures. Okay, so now we're gonna talk about the expenditures that were mandated. Like there are some increases in our budget, some things that we have to given the benefits that we offer. So there are some, excuse me, increases in health insurance costs. A portion of that, as it was 2.4%. Basically, that was an additional approximately $230,000 that we had to budget for health insurance costs. And only a portion of it. There's another piece that just the overall cost went up also, and so that was less than an additional $154,000. Explicitly pointed out there. But in addition to over $300,000 in health insurance costs, our retirement increased. Our retirement increase, and that the cost for that alone is $76,000. Okay? So now don't forget, we're already put as $500,000 less than this year's budget, right? On top of that, we have increases in health care. Increases in retirement. And so remember, I told you I didn't propose a tax increase. So where do the funds come from? In order to cover, as well as the increase in cost. Well, I would love for our employees to receive a cost of living increase. But because of these increases, as well as the decrease in revenues, one. In order to do that, a tax increase would need to take place in order to do that. And so I did not said this budget does not include a salary increase for employees. Okay? So now, there are very limited capital purchases in this budget. So as you all know, some of our bigger departments for public safety, EMS, Sheriff's Office, they have capital lease payments, capital lease. And so those are quite a bit in some of the departments. And so some of those are there because we have to maintain and update it so that our law enforcement can respond to calls as needed. Ambulances. We consistently need ambulances in order to include at least one or two annually. But again, because of what we're facing here, I was not able to include those. However, we have requested some funds. Congressman Don Davis's office, and hopefully, as he has assisted us in recent years with for the fire stations, we have for last this current year, we got critical $1 million in critical equipment for our fire stations. Last year, it was $1 million for the 911 facility match. Okay, so we have gotten funds before Spence Davis's office, and of course, is not set in stone just yet. But we have requested those funds, and we're hoping that they will be available to us so that we can purchase ambulances. But they are not included in this year's budget. Another piece that I would love to include, there's a contract for EMS monitors and defibrillators, an update. From my understanding, we will have, because our current monitors will be obsolete. And in order to receive updates and for those to be worked on, we're going to need to do that. But again, I did because of where we are. So now, we talked about this. I was very to including this ladder, at least a piece of it. But again, without a tax increase and with additional costs, the money has to come from somewhere. So that being said, I have proposed to temporarily eliminate some positions. This is not something that I want to do. As we move forward in the budget process, hopefully we will see as the tax office completes audits and as we continue to monitor questions or monitor how and that which will help us hopefully increase our projections. Hopefully we will be able to increase our projections for property tax, for sales tax, and that sort of thing. Right now, what we know we received and what we are able to feel comfortable with projecting, it requires me to leave, one being the assistant county manager position. I was very reluctant to do that because I need an assistant county manager, as you all know, to assist with personnel, to help with special projects, and the list goes on and on and on. In addition to that, there's a code enforcement officer, which is an inspector position in planning and inspections that has not been filled for a while. We do have this position has been vacant for a while, and so I'm proposing to temporarily eliminate it unless you all were able to find someone. A lobbyist. That's a piece that you all just voted to include throughout the fiscal year. Recently, you did that.
I did.
And when I say you, I mean you as a board.
I know what you mean. I'm just.
And so that has been proposed. It's being proposed that be eliminated. Okay. In addition to that, of course, you all know we have that contract is being proposed to be eliminated for this fiscal year. And to help compensate with that, of course, we now do have an economic development director. Special appropriations. This is a big one. This is a big on the page. It says expenditure factors decreases. I am once again proposing a decrease in our to Bertie County schools. And I know, of course, you know, sometimes we don't like to do that based on the numbers. Based on declining enrollment, based on the closing of facilities, a decrease in that appropriation, those appropriations are proposed. Okay, so for Bertie County Schools, we usually give a little bit of dollars. Right now, the proposed budget includes an appropriation of about 2.7, so it's a little bit over $250,000. For that decrease, about 266, actually is what it is, 266,000. The county schools capital outlay, we've consistently provided 375,000 for capital outlay. This proposed budget, reducing that by $75,000. So that appropriation for school capital outlay will be $1,000. But again, you know, this is just a recommendation. This is a proposed budget. Once you all dive in, you all get to make based on what we're facing right now. Unless something else is going to be eliminated, or unless there's going to be and the ad valorem tax rate, it has to come from somewhere. Bit about our fire protection service tax tax district. It includes all incorporated areas of unincorporated areas of Bertie County with the it included. The only portion of the county that is not included is the town of Windsor. And this service tax district includes a levy of additional taxes of approximately 7.62 cents. And you'll also see in the last bullet there An appropriation of 14,500 goes to Windsor Fire Department. And of course, that is included in the proposal since we have developed this service tax district. So switching to fund, we'll take a look back starting at 2018. From 2018 through 2020, you may not be able to see the numbers if you don't have a hard copy in front of you, but the green bar represents expenditures, how much money we spent, and that bar is higher than the revenue. So for that time, we were suffering a loss in the water department, which is what contributed to us being a... However, effective July 1, 2021, the rates increased. And since that time, as you can see, there has been the revenues have exceeded the expenditures. And our last audit for fiscal year 2024 did confirm that. We, again, clearly exceeding expenditures, and we hope to remain on that track. This is a quick overview of the water fund. If you take a look, in the early years when we were losing all that money, the water budget was over $2.8 million. We brought it back down in 22, went up a little bit for fiscal year 26. And as of right now, our financial summaries have been showing that our revenues are exceeding our expenditure. I am proposing that we bring it back down to about 2.7 for fiscal year 27. What's next? We have a budget work for Monday, May 18th at 10 o'clock. Our public hearing is scheduled for June 8th, and that provides the opportunity for our public to provide feedback on the proposed budget. The budget has to be adopted by July 1, and right now it's scheduled to take place on June 22nd, place anywhere between June 8th and June 22nd. Those are just the meetings that we have scheduled as of right now. And so at the either tonight or work session, you can schedule additional work sessions as we usually do. We could actually dive into the budget on May 18th if that's what you all would like to do. However, that is a time between May 18th and June 8th. It would be ideal for us to schedule the our budget work sessions. We usually schedule 2 to 3, and depending on if we more or less. But June 22nd, as of right now, is the plan for adoption. Thank you for your. Are there any questions?
Any questions?
Did I ask?
Very much.
I do have a question, though.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time to bring it up, but we were talking, you said something about this assistant county man.
I did.
From an organizational standpoint, have we ever thought about an assistant to the manager?
Actually, when I came, there was an assistant to the manager. That was through a program with NCACC. That employee was brought onto a program through them, and that position was added so that she would be kept county team. However, as you saw, the budgets back at that time, back in 2019 and 2020, I had to make cuts at that time, just like so that position was eliminated. So there is an option to add a position like that. Yeah, if it's possible, I prefer to have an assistant county manager. It was only taken out because of where we stand right now with the budget. So the increased cost and the decrease in revenues, the projected decrease.
Position between the assistant county manager and assistant to the manager, that should be a difference of around $35,000, $40,000, do you think?
I would say so.
Yeah, I do know right now with graduation coming up, your alma mater.
North Carolina, you mean North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State?
No, I was, I'm the wrong one. That's not y'all. Central, talking about North Carolina Central.
Okay.
Schools, they have public admin programs.
Okay.
And that would be something to actually take a look at, put some flyers out.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have these. Guys, I don't want to be the only one talking. But that's just a possibility. I understand county manager, but with the budget like it is, but at the same time, something is better than nothing.
Yes, sir.
That's my truth, and I'm sticking to it. So.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we'll look at some work session. Okay. Thank you so much, County Manager. At this time, we will move to our ABC board appointments under our board appointments.
We'll nominate Sharon Jones.
Okay.
She's on around.
See, she just, you just reappointing her.
Right.
It's already up there. Yeah, that's Ms. Jones, she's ABC. Okay, we have a motion on the floor to appoint Ms. Sharon Jones, reappoint Ms. Sharon Jones by Commissioner Robinson, second by Commissioner Sons. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. I'd like to congratulate Ms. Jones. Now, River Development.
I nominate Karen Dammer.
Second.
Ms. Karen Dammer back to River Beast.
Reappoint.
You reappoint.
Yeah, second reappointment.
Okay, we have a call to reappoint Ms. Dameron to the Rivers East Workforce Development by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Congratulations, Ms. Dameron. Consent agenda. Approved the March 16, 2026 work session meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
On the floor to approve the minutes by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Next line item, approve the April 6, 2026 open and close regular meeting minutes.
Second.
I have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Saunders to approve the April 6, 2026 open and close regular meeting minutes. All in favor, let it be
aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item to approve the March 2026 tax release journal.
So moved.
Have a motion to approve the March 2026 tax release journal by Commissioner White, second by Vice Chairman Hoggett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Next line item, 2026 Register of Deeds Feeds Report.
So moved.
Have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Michael White. To approve the March 6 Register of Deeds Fees Report, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Approve the 2025 audit contract.
We got any discussion? Do we need a discussion on that one?
Oh, no. Yeah, I believe everything's in place. But we need that approved so that we can get that underway right away.
Second.
No discussion? No.
Let's get it done.
We got a motion on the floor by Commissioner White, second by Vice Chairman Hoggett, all by saying aye.
Aye.
Approve the resolution to adopt a 6-year reappraisal cycle. Any discussion on that?
To discuss that more than just.
Well, I know Jody was here a couple of meetings ago. And
that's just how he said. That's what I was wondering if we're going.
Yeah. I
mean, that have to happen today anyway,
it
right?
Because,
I mean, we're doing the appraisal in 2028.
Correct.
So we have some time.
Yeah.
We have. I just know that.
He's in favor. He made the recommendation. You know, he's in favor of the 6-year reevaluation on properties.
Yeah, he did say.
Is
he on the line? Is Jody on the line?
He's not there. I mean, if you all want to talk about it now, we can. So basically, we're required by statute to do it every 8 years, right? We get closer to 8 years, and I didn't mention this part in my presentation, but it's very relevant. And so around years 6, 7, and 8, right? Because we're trying to build a budget based off of values that were assessed back 8 years, back in 2020, basically.
Right.
So are going away from 8 years. Because when you think about it in that perspective, it's somewhat of a long time. So we could go as recent as every 4 years, but we're not prepared The larger counties are going to every four, but we, Jody and I, for myself, I strongly recommend from 8 to 6.
Yep.
It will help in the long run.
So one of the questions I have, though, is like currently, you know, we're getting ready to do a full reeval.
Correct.
Which costs a lot
full
of money.
Full list measure.
Right.
Yes.
And so we said for that.
That's correct.
For the 8 years.
That's correct.
So at some point, we would have to really look to make sure we can set aside the, I know we don't do that every, but you're saying in this example,
yes,
we were going to need 600 and some thousand dollars. So we would need to up, we're going to do another full listing or full, you're going to now have to save 100 and some thousand dollars every year to make that
correct. If we do that,
right.
But with the going to six, you don't necessarily need to do
time. Right.
Right, because you're doing it more often, so we don't have to do a full listen measure every time if we go to 6 years. But having some sort of evaluation will be helpful to the county and to the citizens too, in terms of, you know, if you wait a whole 8 years, you know, it could go up quite a bit. You know, you do it a little bit more often, it may not increase as, you know, as much.
It could. The only hesitation I had about could we talk about this later is because we mentioned it at one meeting, one time, and the public, I do not think, knows about it. And so at least give them a chance to come speak about it if they had concerns, and we could answer questions. That was my concern about
absolutely
tonight.
That's why I have no objections to that. Jody, when he presented it, there was no discussion or not many questions at that time. And so we thought that you all might. But absolutely, allowing people
I don't hate it
to voice their concerns about it before you approve it.
So what we'll do is let's table that until work session.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll put it up there. Next line item. To approve the county register of deeds records retention and disposition schedule.
So moved.
Stagger.
We have a motion on the floor. White, second by Vice Chair Mahogany. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, approved proclamation declaring June 2026 as Veterans PTSD Awareness Month.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Approved a proclamation recognizing May 3rd through May 9th, 2026 as clerk to the board this week. Is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. All right, we will now move to other items. Discussion agenda. Burt T. County Relay for Life. Friday, May 15th, 2026 at Burt T. Middle School at 5 o'clock. Anything further you'd like to say about that?
No, sir.
Okay. Mark College commencement exercises Friday, May the 15th, 2026 at 7 o'clock p.m. And we hope that everyone that can make that. Now we'll move to our commissioner's report. Commissioner Rock.
Well, first thing I'll say, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers this month. And I had the opportunity to visit Burt T. Rebuild that is stationed at Old Southwestern Early College to see them perform on a client house. The guys done a super job, super job. And we need to appreciate this for the citizens. Other piece of information I'd like to share with y'all. Rush One Community College had their graduation on Friday. I was in attendance as a trustee, and they had a great graduation. The rain came, I didn't even make a break. And had one lady there graduated 70 years old, Miss Ward. So she needs to be commended for her dedication and love for education.
Yeah, Vice Chair Hall.
Kind of want to piggyback on Commissioner-elect Miles Davis, you know, with the fire department. So And you know, I agree with them wholeheartedly, and I'm pretty sure most this board does too. And what we have to do is, like I said, come together, sit down, solutions, and make sure things are done right and in order. Understanding that, too, as a county and as an administrator, and I'm not speaking for Mr. Vaughn, but I understand, you know, things you have to make sure things are I's are dotted, T's are crossed. Make right. I understand the frustration about the fire department. This grant came in 2023. They say they have to 2028 to have the, I guess, construction of those buildings. So, you know, if you look at it, things like, you know, time is getting close. But believe me, if I have, if I sit on this board, it will get done. I think I speak for everybody. I'm pretty sure I know I speak for everybody. But, you know, what we have to do is come together as a board, get together with the fire departments, let the fire departments and the county manager, the fire department, let them get together, let them talk, let them do stuff. This will be done. It will get done. You know, there's no way we're sitting up here trying to hold money, keep money away. I mean, that's ridiculous. Why the hell would we do that? Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to me. You know, I'm just going to be straight up and down. Okay? And, that's how I feel about it. I'm quite sure I speak for this board. I don't do that often. Don't try to. Nobody else up here does. But this is one thing I know I can say. And we all in agreement. My truth, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Commissioner White?
I just want to make sure everybody got the Burt Taylor College email today. They got senior awards night. Think at 6 p.m. and graduation May 22nd at 6 p.m. and Burt T.I. School is 5:30, like not 5:30, May 30th at 9 a.m. Our presence, and then some. He's eating up. What do you need to say?
Yeah, I don't forget, and I did. You will the letters we received.
That was my next thing. I wanted to give a shout out to Windsor Elementary's first grade. They did an amazing job. Their teachers got them to write commissioner letters to the commissioners about what they wanted to see in their town. Quite cute. Very nice.
Quite touch.
Yes. I hope we can get a water park for them soon.
A taco?
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
They have big plans. That's all I have.
Commissioner Saunders.
We have Juneteenth on June 19th at Lewiston. We're going to have a parade. We requested to be the Grand Marshal. Chief Cherry is hosting it with the Smokehouse, the town of Lewiston, and the Vitality Center. We're hoping to have at least 150 vendors and shut down. I want to kind of piggyback on what Commissioner Hardy said. I think some folks are uninformed about what's going on with the fire. I don't usually, so y'all don't pass out when this happened. County Manager Vaughn extended an invitation by email to the fire chiefs to work on when they had meetings started, myself, and there's a fire commission. So I'm not understanding why all this confusions have come about this weekend, because, you know, in the paper kind of drums it up. But we're doing exactly what you said. You know, it's going to take a process. You know, we have to go through the lawyers and do what we have to do. But I know try to settle this. You know, we've settled this. So I invite anybody who wants to come to Windsor Fire Commission meeting on Thursday, and you'll see what the progress that we made thus far. I invite you to come, because the things that you're saying, we're already doing it. So I'm confused about that. That's all I have.
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Now, I'd just like to say that I think it's important as a board that we do everything we can to continue to make good, sound decisions on behalf of the county. That's what we were elected to do. And I think as time goes on, you know, we hard on us because we get criticized, we get ran down, fingers pointed. But at the end of the day, you still got to do what you were elected to do. Here, Berkeley County, do it to the best of your ability. And don't take it personal. Let's just continue to work together to support all of our citizens and organizations. I just need you all to know, including the firemen, that we are here. All we can do is all we can do. That's what I need everybody to understand. All we can do is all we can do. We're limited to how we move. And, you know, you can't do anything today, and I make it happen by nightfall. It's just, I can't pull it off. You have the wrong one. But I pray that you all just continue to understand for it. And we're going to try to continue to serve to the best of our ability as a board here in Berkeley County. All right. Thank you. And the managers.
Chairman, I have three quick things. I too received letters from students at three. I was delighted to receive those. One of the classes who participated in that is my daughter's first grade class. So it was very interesting to see all of the requests that they had in Berkeley County. And I think all of us are planning to respond back from my understanding. I know they would absolutely love that and be excited to receive letters from all of us. Clarity. This is the emergency management project involving the firefighters is a hot topic. And I believe just honors that some people are just uninformed is what it appears to be. There have been meetings. There's been with Berkeley County staff and one or more fire chiefs, from my understanding, months ago. David Scarborough, finance officer Willie Mack, sat down with several people, and from my understanding, fire chiefs, to discuss some things. Emergency management director John Rawls, as well as economic development director Allison Browning, recently invited down to a meeting as we were to discuss why a certain architectural firm was selected, the Wooten Company was selected, which you all later approved. So not understanding why the perception that there's no information, simply not true. In addition to that, what I would like for everyone to understand, while the funds were received a few years back, let's say 2023, yes, they have to be expended by 2028, but a part built in Lewiston and Mirror Hill was the purchase of several fire trucks. Okay, that takes time, and I think it's important that we do it in phases and not try to do everything at one time. You run the risk of running out of funds, and then you have several undone projects. So the county was awarded. The county is responsible for those funds, and the county is going to make sure that those funds are handled in a fiscally responsible way. Lastly, this week is Public Service Appreciation Week, which recognizes employees of federal, state, government. And so I just want to wish the Berkeley County staff a happy Public Service Appreciation Week, and to thank their commitment, showing up every day when they don't have to. I appreciate the hard work, particularly the audit that was recently completed, and we have some more audit work to do. We're getting caught up, but that took a whole lot of work, as well as this proposed budget. It took a whole lot of work from all of the departments, or the staff, and just want to take a moment to publicly acknowledge that.
Mr. Attorney? Okay. And it got by me the letter that the students are writing. You all are training them well, because a lot of them close to saying, make it happen. You know, so you all are training them well. You all are training them well, and we're gonna do what we can to respond to these youth who took the time out to write their commissions. All right. At this time, we will move into our public comments. Please, ma'am, please, sir, remember, limit it to 3 minutes per speaker. Madam Clerk? Okay. All right. With that being said, we need a motion to go into closed session according to North Carolina General Statute. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I just wanted to take a moment and recognize Ms. Smith, our representative, who is here today. And we just want to just allow you to stand and just recognize yourself and speak to everybody. I'm so sorry. Thank you.
District, we have 13 Martin and Edcom family. I will be attending some meetings. I'm juggling right now trying to get the meetings scheduled for the county. This left my getting for my targets. We'll be around.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And yeah,
forgive me for that. That's good. Okay. Oh, I got it. I need a motion to go into closed session according to North Carolina General Statutes 143-318.118.34.
Motion. So moved.
Second. That was a motion on the floor by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let me know by saying aye. Nay. We are now going into closed session, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much.
I'll make the motion that we go back into open session.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody.
Chair Balance, I'd like to make a motion. We approve the memorandum of understanding with the fire departments. We approve it with the amendment as given.
Okay. We have motion on the floor to approve the MOA with the fire department with the amendment made by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. So be it.
And Chair Balance, I'd like to make a motion. We approve the farm lease agreement with the amendments around the archaeology or archaeological area to be excluded from the lease.
We have a motion on the floor to
second
to move forward with the approval of the lease agreement to exclude the archaeologist section of that property by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. And
right, lastly, I'd make one more.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a motion to release closed session. January 13th, 2025, March 17th, 2025, April 3rd, 2025, and April 7th, 2025.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White. Closed session minutes stated. Second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
You said you were approving those. You mean you approved the release of those?
The release of those, yes. Of the closed session minutes of the meeting stated by Commissioner White.
So moved. I mean, yes.
Yes. I think, did we clear that up? Okay.
Got one more motion for you. Then.
Yes, sir.
Ready?
Yes. Okay. If there's no more discussion and no more questions, we need a motion to adjourn.
I'd like to make a motion, we adjourn.
All right. Have a motion to adjourn by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Rock. You know him by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
We are adjourned.